Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And it's April, and that means it's almost playoff time. And we don't know who the Leafs are going to play yet, but we do know that Ladies Talking Leafs is once again going to be going weekly for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's always an exciting time of year, obviously. And just like you, we'll be cheering on and hoping that the Leafs will have a long playoff run, which will mean even more Ladies Talking Leafs for you. So please hit that follow button on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us, and you won't miss any episodes. If you watch us on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, and you will also see our video content from any playoff games that we attend.
And not only is it the push for the NHL playoffs right now, but also the tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-date or up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through to the tournament.
So head to BetOnline today to get in on all the action. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Currently, BetOnline has Canadian teams at plus 200 to win the Stanley Cup. A few weeks ago, it was 175, so hasn't moved that much. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know needs support or advice, reach out to Connex Ontario or an organization near you. Place your limits and stay within it.
All right. Before we get into the show, just a quick congrats to Wayne Simmonds, also known as Wayne Train from Scarborough, who announced his retirement after 15 NHL seasons. And also congrats to James Van Riemsdyk, JVR, for hitting the 1,000-game milestone. He is the 58th American-born player to play 1,000 NHL games, and I still have his jersey, yes. And Syl reminded me that I need to mention a Maple Leaf player who also has a milestone, which is our captain, John Tavares, hit the 1,100 NHL game mark as well. So congrats to all of them, and for Wayne Simmonds, it's really a huge accomplishment for him. I mean, he's going to go in as a Flyer. He's going to retire. He's going to sign the one-day contract, which I don't know why they have to do those things, but to actually prove that they, to say that they retired as a Flyer. But anyhow, he had his best years there. And yeah, he's from Scarborough, and he had a really great career of the 15 NHL seasons.
Definitely. And nice for him to have had the opportunity to pull on the blue and white as well. All right. So let's get into the show now. And we're going to start things off with bringing back the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. And for a third period segment, we are going to be welcoming Maple Leaf reporter for the Hockey News and SI.com, David Alter, to the show to talk about what to expect from the Leafs as we head into the final few weeks of the NHL regular season. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Okay, so as we record this podcast, only 9 games to go for this season, and it's the 7th edition of the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. So let's roll it.
All right, so coming in at number 3, it's a shout out to players, but in a different way than usual. So we're going to talk about the signings of Simone Benoit and Bobby McMahon. So this is a great move by GM Brad Treliving to get these two players signed at such a reasonable cap hit and for the term that they did as well and for what they've shown this season. So Benoit's contract is 3 years at $1.3 million AAV and McMahon for 2 at the same AAV of $1.35 million. That seems to be Treliving's magic number somehow.
Yeah, no, I mean, it to me, it was just a nice thing to see our GM actually sign somebody during the season rather than letting them go to the very end and then possibly having them walk. But yeah, Benoit, I mean, he's been one of our Leaf fans in general. He's been he's really become a favorite just with he's basically just a stay-at-home defenseman. Plays the game right that way, and he's been consistent all season, and he didn't sulk or make any problems when he got sat those few games as a healthy scratch. And I just loved his comment on Instagram. After he signed, he said he's excited to be a Leafer for the next 3 years, and you could just hear him with the, like, his French accent a little bit sort of thing, right? Hey, I'm excited to be a Leafer. Right? Mm-hmm. And then Bobby McMahon, I just thought is another great story because, I mean, he's 27 years old. He's an undrafted player, and he worked through so many, like, going through the East Coast League too, and just a roundabout way of finally getting to the NHL. And with him, I read a story that he said that he didn't sign immediately the contract and before telling his parent, like, he wanted to tell his parents that he's holding out a little bit because he thinks he can get a little bit more. Right. And his parents are like, what? He's like, I wanted to make my parents sweat a little bit. So I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. But yeah, no, he's definitely, again, since he's been called up from the Marlies in January, basically on a more full-time basis, it was, he's definitely proven, that he's worth that contract. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, like you said, with Treliving actually signing these guys now and not waiting, I think that's a signal to the team. Like, the previous regime just kind of looked at all the different guys that is replaceable and throwaways. And the only thing that mattered was the core. And I really feel like Treliving has not felt that way. I think he even said as much from the very beginning in his first press conference. I think the fact that he is signing some of these guys in season and they're not just being treated like throwaways or, you know, fringe people that are replaceable. I think that actually might send a signal to the team that it's a little bit different now. So I kind of like that. And I think you need to be cohesive and really play as a team to get anywhere in the playoffs. I'm not saying that these two signings are going to make a difference that way, but I do think that feeling of, you know, building that team and, you know,
knowing these guys mattering is
something.
Yeah, and knowing that those guys are going to be in the dressing room next season too, right? Like, just, it's not just about the core four and
exactly.
And
so I like it.
And the revolving door, basically, right? So trying, and Treliving it's just his first season, right? So he's just starting that, I guess, to put his imprint on the team that way. So
yeah.
All right. So moving on to number 2 was the game versus the Oilers. That was a great atmosphere at Scotiabank Arena with Zach Hyman and his Oilers coming to town on a Saturday night. And the Leafs were up 5-0 after period number 2. And then they let their foot off the gas a little bit in the third, but we ended up winning 6-3. And I just loved it. We had these guys behind us. There was about 6 or 7 guys in Oilers jerseys behind us in standing room, and all they could, they were pretty quiet most of the game, and they kept going up and down getting their beer, and but they weren't saying much, and it was just like, and then finally, and it was just so funny to see them all go like a little unit all the way down the stairs, right? Just in their Oilers jerseys, Dreisaitl, McDavid, but yeah, no, we definitely, the only reason why the Oilers ended up getting, I guess, the three goals too, they were on the power play. Like, we ended up taking stupid penalties, right? And our penalty kill, although it is getting better, it wasn't still that great then. But yeah, no, it was a great game, and it was just the atmosphere that I loved it there at Scotiabank Arena.
Yeah, and so we don't get atmospheres like that often, and of course, we kind of need playoffs usually for those types of atmospheres. That was very much a playoff atmosphere that night. So definitely, yeah, it's worth mentioning. It's always good to beat the Oilers in our barn. So, all right. So coming in at number one, Austin Matthews, of course. So 13 points in his last seven games, topping it off with his 60th goal versus the Sabres on Saturday night. He became the third player in NHL history with multiple 60 goal seasons for an original six club. And I think he's only the ninth person throughout the NHL to have done that as well. So Felix Esposito had four with Boston, and Steve Yzerman had two with Detroit. And now here we have Austin with two, and hopefully it won't be the last one. So anyway, he's in good company on that list. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, I had no idea that Steve Yzerman scored 60 goals.
I didn't remember that either, but. I mean, look at him at the beginning of his career. That's basically what he was. He was a sniper, right?
So yeah. That's true. So, but yeah, no. For his 60th goal, there wasn't. I mean, all night in that game in Buffalo, like, he was just all around the net, and he was not going to be denied. Like,
well,
there's just no way.
And the actual 60th goal, he worked so hard.
Yes.
For that goal.
Yeah,
he was, like you said, he was not going to be denied. So
yeah. Yeah. And Samsonov says that he's hoping for 70 goals for Austin. He has a little window or something where he sees 70 goals. He was saying it after the game. He's funny with his interviews after the game.
We're hoping for that also. So I'm with Sammy on that one. Yeah. So, as mentioned at the top of the show, we're excited to talk about the push for the playoffs. And for a third period segment, we welcome Maple Leafs reporter David Alter to the show.
Okay, so we have just over a couple of weeks left in the Leafs season before the real fun begins and the NHL playoffs get going. And to talk about where the Leafs are at, we welcome Leafs reporter for the Hockey News and SI.com, David Alter.
So David also has a newsletter called The Road, covering hockey and reporting on the Maple Leafs, which you can subscribe to at theroad.biz. We had David on during the patio season in last August, so it has been quite a while. So welcome to the show again, David, and we thank you so much for being on with us.
It's my pleasure to join you guys. And I appreciate you plugging the newsletter. It's a reminder that I've got to update it. It's been a little while, but I'm super passionate about that. I think a lot of people are kind of curious about the lifestyle when it comes to trying to do all this as a business too. So I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's great. The little tips that you give in there. And it's definitely worth our listeners to subscribe. So we're going to start it off. Actually, we just want to get your eye. We're recording this on the Sunday, just after the day after when Austin Matthews got his 60th goal in Buffalo. And we just want to know, you were there in Buffalo for the game, and just want to know the atmosphere there. Like, it just looked like total blue and white. So we just wanted to get your thoughts on.
Yeah. So the atmosphere was fantastic. I mean, I have covered a lot of Sabres Leafs games in my years, and, it's always a good time for Toronto fans. People enjoy making the drive down, and, you know, has a less than corporate vibe like you would normally get at Scotiabank Arena. So for all those reasons, it's a lot of fun. And not to go too much on a tangent, but I remember when Nazem Kadri was with the Maple Leafs in 2017, the banner photo on his Twitter account was a goal he scored in Buffalo, because as he bangs the glass in celebration, it's a row of fans in Leaf jerseys against the glass, which you would never see in Toronto. Yeah. And so I asked him about that, and he's like, I actually have that photo up on my wall in my bedroom. I'm like, wow. Oh, like this was at the time. Now he's two teams removed from that. I'm sure it might not be the case. I'm sure it's somewhere. But I thought that was pretty cool. And it just kind of goes to show you, you know, Leaf fans, if you've lived in that area or you've been around and you know about the Toronto Buffalo games, it's always a festive environment. But this was 90% Leaf fans. I could not believe how overwhelming, how 2 minutes into the game, you already have chance of We Want 60 going on. It
how,
was
how did they
electric.
Get those balloons in there? That's what I'd like to say. I
didn't I did not see that from my vantage point until I saw the broadcast.
Yeah. But that's crazy. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, they must have just inflated it there. I don't know. It was really something else. You know those guys from the bachelor party with the Matthews shirts? They were there. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing them in Ottawa in games in the past. Yeah. So that was pretty unique, but yeah, it was certainly a vibe. The only thing that kind of sucks from a reporter standpoint is when it's late in the third period, you're usually going downstairs and behind the bowl. So you miss some of the third period as you're making your way down for post game. And we had to go especially early that night because the elevator, the elevator that takes us there shut down. And so staff there was leading us to some other area down steps or wherever to go. Uh-huh. And of course, during that is when Austin Matthews gets his 60th goal. So got all the reaction afterwards, but like I wasn't in the bowl to hear how deafening it was there, but everything leading up to it, it was pretty loud and exciting, and not a real surprise that Matthews did it in the same building where he was drafted. It's certainly kind of a nice little full circle moment for him.
Yeah.
Before we move on, just a quick impression from you. I mean, it's going to be a little bit tougher for him to get 70, but you know, what's your thoughts on whether he could do it?
I mean, it all depends on how hot he gets, right? The thing with Austin Matthews when he scores is they just seem to come in bunches. Yeah. And lately they haven't been coming in bunches. They've been these little one goals here and there. But there was that one stretch where I think he went like 7 or 8 straight games. I can't remember what it was, but it was crazy. And then he was getting a whole bunch of hat tricks, and he just scores them in these big bunches that if he just has a stretch of 3 games where he gets hot, he could totally do it. I think he'll at least get to 65, which would be a feat in itself. But certainly the 70 watch is on, and I think a lot of people want to see that, not even just Leaf fans or whatever, just how shocking that number would be in today's NHL for sure.
No, he was pretty pumped up about it yesterday. I was thinking that after the Sabres players were gonna go after him for the celebration, because every time we have a big moment in somebody else's building, it's just like the other side always ends up taking offense to it, sort of thing, right? I guess like the but anyhow, it was good. It was a great moment. But let's get on to a few other things here though. The because the regular season is winding down, and just sticking with the regular season, who has impressed you I guess with their play this season, and who do you think could, or who are you thinking would have made a bigger impact of the team? So the two sides of it, I guess.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's kind of hard to say, just because, you know, if you ask me that question about who hasn't lived up to it or whatever, maybe like a month and a half ago, it was said Tyler Bertuzzi. But then Tyler Bertuzzi has now gone on this run, and he's really kind of regressed to the mean in terms of how he just couldn't score and drive the offense to now driving a ton of offense on the team's top line. And so he's kind of leveled out to maybe at expectations when you take the beginning and the end and roll it into one. I think Matthew Nyes probably is the one that has probably went beyond what I expected. I think a lot of people put a lot of hype on him, and I just really didn't know what it was going to be like for him, because as good as he was in the playoffs last year and just kind of coming into that situation. I thought the more run and gun, shoot 'em out, offensive, fish in a barrel type hockey that you see in the first few months of a regular season might expose his lack of speed. And I thought he might struggle from that. And then, you know, at that point, okay, where is it going to go from there? But he's kept up. He's fit in nicely in a top six role. Now he's kind of playing on the third line. It's leveled out a little bit here. But I think when, especially when Tyler Bertuzzi was struggling and they were putting Matthew Nyes on that top line, that's a huge assignment for a rookie. I don't care what pedigree you are in that regard, to be able to play with skilled players like he was able to do and bring that dynamic certainly impressed me. That I think was the most surprising for sure. And then in terms of who didn't impress me, you know, in the first half of the season, I think the big surprise would have been Samsonov, but then he kind of leveled it out and now has become the de facto number one. I think it's kind of hard to argue that at this point, just given how hot he's been, and he just seems to be getting better as the season has gone along. You know, Nick Robertson may be into that kind of spot, although now he's starting to come on as of late. So it's kind of hard to answer that question. Maybe Pontus Holmberg, I think, might be the guy where, and it's probably unfair because he defied so much expectation last year that he really came out of nowhere to really earn a spot with the Maple Leafs. And then he just didn't really match that the first half of the season. And now he's kind of found this kind of role. So it's really hard to say it from beginning to end, just because, you know, everyone's kind of been. Yeah. And look, even William Nylander.
Down. Yeah. Yeah.
Like William Nylander's been exceptional this year. And then now he's got that big contract. And now the question is, is that contract going to live up to its age? Like, that's a really tough one too. So everything is in flashes. Right. And that's really summed up the Maple Leafs this season. You know, they look really good sometimes and sometimes they don't. And you just don't really know how the roulette wheel is going to land.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that flash in February is the one that I liked at the end of February, even though we had the most injuries there. But we played Colorado and that 6-7, I think we said like 7-8 games that we had a winning streak. That's the one that, that really, it would be nice to get on a heater there for the playoffs like that. But we'll see what happens.
The 7-game winning streak was, it's hard to believe it's been that long. And then you take that out of the equation, you really start to wonder, where is this team going to be? And then that really kind of allowed them to get some sort of separation from the wildcard teams that, for better or worse, it was like, oh, okay, it's going to be one of those again where the final stretch of this season, they're just kind of stuck in this third place Atlantic Division spot. Can't go up, can't go down, barring an unforeseen disaster from either themselves or the teams around them.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're hopeful that they go on a little bit more of a run again, leading right into the playoffs as well. So anyway, so speaking of the playoffs right now, the team is going through a spell with quite a few injuries as well. Mitch Marner hopefully is going to be getting back into the lineup in the next week or so. Do you think it's a lock that he's going to end up playing back with Austin Matthews again? Or could you see them moving him down, you know, so he can drive some offense from a different line?
Yeah, it's a tough one. And I don't think it's actually going to come down to Mitch Marner necessarily. I don't think the decision is Mitch Marner shouldn't be on the top line because he should be. It's really more so, where can they optimize Max Domi? And right now, Max Domi has looked so good in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And John Tavares has improved tremendously over the last month that he's back in that 2C spot. So does it make sense for Domi to move down to a second line wing? Does it make sense for him to move to a third line wing when he's been playing this well and he's been playing really well with Tyler Bertuzzi as well? That's a tough one. Really don't know. Like, it's really going to come down to Sheldon Keefe moving pieces around in the final stretch of games to kind of figure out, okay, you know, this is kind of where they fit and looking at the numbers. Let's say you do keep Max Domi in that spot. Where does Mitch Marner fit after that? I mean, he's played well with John Tavares before. I can't see him being in a third line position. I can't see Nylander and Marner being on the line together, especially with the lack of right-hand shots. And then there's defensive issues there if you do that. So does Nylander move back down to the third line again? Does that make sense? I mean, they've got Bobby McMahon in that spot right now that maybe you can strengthen it there and McMahon moves down. That's a possibility. But I think it's all going to come down to what Keith feels will get the most out of Max Domi, because Domi's been all over the place and at times he's looked like he's fit in some spots and at times he doesn't. And I think that's kind of where Mitch Marner is going to fall, because ideally Mitch Marner should be with Austin Matthews. All the numbers seem to suggest that.
So any chance that Domi could play with Austin and Mitch?
They have tried that on the left side, but then I think they just really like Tyler Bertuzzi's game up top with Austin Matthews, that I just don't see it. But it's weird. Sheldon Keefe likes to work in pairs. He's talked about all that all the time, where he looks at pairs of forwards. Like Matthews and Marner were a pair. Nylander and Tavares were a pair. So-and-so were a pair. And then they'd rotate the other wingers that can create the offense for the other guys. But the problem right now is they've got Bertuzzi and Domi as a good pair, and they've got Matthews and Marner as a good pair. So you kind of have to break up one of those pairs, and it doesn't look like it's kind of going to fit. I remember I asked when Mitch Marner got hurt and they moved Tyler Bertuzzi up. I kind of asked Sheldon, is this something you were going to do regardless of Mitch Marner kind of being out? And he said, yeah, we were thinking about this. So the problem is the injury has allowed for this, but now you don't know what the ideal is when he comes back. And they have these two pairs with a Venn diagram that doesn't really have a middle that kind of fits. So it's going to be tough to kind of figure that out. And they don't have a lot of time to kind of figure that out.
So what you're really saying is that it's going to be a couple of weeks of, or a few weeks of, Leafs fans tearing their hair out while he plays musical chairs still leading into the playoffs. And there's not going to be anything set by the time we go in. That's probably what's going to happen.
The hardest part about this too is, look, we've got Florida games coming up, and maybe that might bridge the gap a little. But if they start to create some separation there, there's a good chance maybe the last three of those games could be utterly meaningless for the Maple Leafs. And then it's like, okay, well, you're going to start resting guys because you have the roster and you don't want to kind of run the risk of anything. So what do you do here? And so I figure, I don't know. It's tough. It's going to be tough to judge this. I think it would have been better for the Leafs to be fighting for their lives from a positional standpoint. I don't like that this is set up the way it has, very similar to what happened in previous years, because I'm of the mind that you should be building good, positive stress heading into the playoffs. And they just haven't had that.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. Before we move off from Mitch, so there was a lot of discourse this weekend regarding his response to some questions about his injury. You tweeted about that. So
yes.
Do you think the vitriol around that was warranted? I kind of feel sometimes like, you know, when he answers these things, he seems like he's trying to pass it off as a joke. What's the deal there? What's up with that?
So it's funny because I tweeted that out. And then I saw some other Leaf fans who are very prolific on social media who kind of sided with Marner, which can everyone can have an opinion on this. It's totally fair. Kind of say it's obvious he's being whatever, or like just joking it off. I'm the first to give benefit of the doubt in any of those situations. If I feel it's that way, I'll add the tone in the replies. I'll say jokes, laughs, smiles, whatever, because I know how these things can be interpreted. But it's just one of those things where, for whatever reason this season, and I don't know if it's the pressure or how long he's been with the Maple Leafs or whatever, but it just seems like there's times where, I don't know if he's just kind of just sick of where they've been over the years, or where he's at or whatever, but he just seems like he's reluctant all the time. And I don't know where it comes from. And look, it could be a mechanism that makes him play with this chip on his shoulder that makes him great. That could be part of the method to his madness. And who am I or anyone else to argue with that method, right? But a lot of the times, there's been times where it seems like it comes out of nowhere, and we don't get a lot of access with these guys as much as people think. Like it's mm-hmm. becoming more and more kind of closed off in that regard with each year that passes. And so kind of left to interpret.
He was on injury too. Like this is the first time you've talked to him in a couple. Yeah. Like at least yeah. 2 3
you
weeks.
Know, and we tried to joke around with him. It's like, hey, yeah. did you miss us? Yeah. Not even smiling about it. Like no? it was just like, oh. it was like, there's body language. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Now I don't know. It could be that he's frustrated with the injury or whatever. Like that's mm-hmm. possible, but you know, TSN's Darren Dreger reported what it was. And there's been other times, like, well, I'll give you another example. When Ilya Samsonov struggled this year and we asked Mitch Marner about what do you make of how Ilya's managed to kind of bounce back and kind of find his game. And then he just brought it back to his issues where he said, you know, like I always say, we don't listen to what you guys think. I'm like, well, wait a minute. No one asked that. you kind of brought it back to this. And so I think that's why when I tweeted that, it's because that has to be judged for how it comes off, because mm-hmm. the benefit of the doubt is already gone just because there's been so many instances of this year. There's never been this kind of like, hey, no, it's fine, whatever. For whatever reason, it's been like this and it's fine. Like Mitch Marner is a professional athlete and very talented. And if this is how he wants to answer the questions, he's more than it's within his right to do it. But certainly there are ways it can be interpreted. And I thought the way it was interpreted on social media was mostly accurate.
I just thought he was in a bad mood, basically, right? It's like, why don't you just tell them that you're not in a good mood today and you don't want to talk to them, you'll talk to them tomorrow, sort of thing.
Well, I mean, I think this is how it's always going to be now.
I hope not, because he's going into the contract. Maybe that's what it is too, because he is going
to
be.
I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate there.
But
it's been like this all season long, where it seems like there's been times where I don't know if the patience is wearing thin or if there's other things going on. Listen, like, I mean, he's had quite the year, like the last couple of years too. Like he's gone through some pretty traumatic stuff as well.
Yeah. No, but he was playing great before he got injured like that. And and everything on social media, like is positive. Like we can't wait to see him back on the ice or anything. Right. That's why I think from a fan perspective, I think it was just, it was kind of odd to have him come out that way. I don't know.
Right. I wasn't surprised though, because there's been instances like this before. And that's why, like, it's one of these things where if it's a one-off, I'm giving the benefit of the doubt and I'm probably adding context or whatever. And I'm not there to like, just do this to kind of show, hey, like, you know, this is whatever. It's more so the fact that this is how it comes across. And it's kind of been like this all season long, even before the injury.
We obviously are not, you know, backstage with you guys that often, but we happen to have the opportunity in Sweden. And there was one interview with him that I got that vibe also. So I totally get what you're saying.
Right.
And it's like, we're not even there all the time. Right. So, I don't know. He just seems to have a discomfort with it all somehow.
But I think it's just recent. It wasn't always like this. Like it's been fairly recent. Mm-hmm. But certainly look, I mean, he's from Thornhill, grew up a Leaf fan. I'm sure there's a lot of pressure. Like I'm sure there is. And it's funny when they talked about contract stuff before, and like William Nylander was able to just, well, during his holdout, just go halfway around the world and not deal with it and not be around it every day. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And everyone has their own process and whatever. And look, it could be how he becomes this great player. I don't know. Maybe it's a chip on his shoulder thing that maybe allows him to be as great as he is. I don't know the process. But
I hope you're right about that part. I hope you're right about that part. If it's part always of the process, I'm all for it. Whatever
I look for the positive in most things. I do, and I try to give people the benefit of the doubt always because I know how what that's like.
Yeah.
But this is not a new thing.
Yeah.
Like when it came to these type of comments. And,
yeah.
And I totally forgot you were there for that one of them as well. Yeah. So like you can kind of get a sense that it's not a one-time situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully he's back. When do you think he's going to get in the lineup again? Like, do you think with these Florida games or?
It's been a weird process because when the injury occurred, they said it was day to day. They said it wasn't a serious injury. Or then they said they have to get it looked at. And then I remember asking Sheldon, he's like, is it good news that at least it's not serious? Because he said it was like a day-to-day thing.
Right.
And then when you say day-to-day, that suggests it's not serious, that it's something that would be really day-to-day. And I think it's now 9 games that he's missed since that time.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where... Yeah, sorry, 10 games now.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I remember when I asked Sheldon, like, is it good news that it's at least not serious? And instead of just kind of accepting that with the day to day, just to try to get him to elaborate, he's like, well, I don't know what serious is. And then kind of made it a little bit more murky. And then day to day turned into day to day away from being day to day. And it's just been a really bizarre process. You know, high ankle sprains tend to not heal very quickly. Like you saw it with Joseph Wall. Mm-hmm. You saw it with Timothy Liljegren. Mitch Marner went through one in 2019, if I remember correctly. And that took a few weeks. I mean, this is a different time of the season. He's on LTI for roster management purposes, but he is still on LTI. And so the Leafs could use that money to activate other players if Mitch Marner is not ready and other guys are. So. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of finagling with the cap and whatever. Right now, they could activate Mitch Marner if he's ready to go. And the fact that he talked to us usually suggests that he's returning soon because they wouldn't have made him available.
Maybe that's part of his frustration. Maybe he thinks he should be ready back because they always want to play, right? I don't know, like depending on, but he has to obviously get the go-ahead from the medical team and that. But
that's true.
Anyhow,
true. And it could be interpreted in many different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's move on to the defense anyways, because we haven't talked about that yet. So moving on to the D pairings, which have been all mixed up since just before the trade deadline when Morgan Rielly first got injured, I guess. But assuming good health, who do you think who will be in the D pairings for the start of the playoffs for game one? Who do you think it's going to be in? Assuming good health.
Yes. If everyone was healthy right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to not, it's hard to put TJ Brody in that six. It really is.
Okay.
Like, I mean, he had that mental reset for 2 games. It looked like it was going to be longer than that if they didn't have the injuries. But they had the injuries, so they're like, okay, well, now you got to go in. And so he's been a little better, but all season he's really struggled, and they've been kind of waiting for him to kind of turn this corner. But I mean, when you look at Rielly Labushkin, you look at McCabe Benoit, and you look at, I guess if Liljegren is there, then you can do Brody, or you do
Edmondson,
Gustafson.
I guess.
Sorry, Edmondson-Timmons. Yeah. You do Edmondson Liljegren. Sorry, there's been so many injuries, I keep forgetting who's in the lineup.
I know. I had to write it down myself.
Yeah. Rielly Labushkin.
Yeah.
You have McCabe Benoit.
Yeah.
Because I think Benoit has earned a top 6 spot here. And when he was out, really, I don't think Brody was playing better than him. It was really because they had Gustafson, who's the same. Gustafson. Sorry, it's another Washington Capital they acquired at the deadline the previous year. When they had Edmondson and they had Benoit, it was kind of the same type of player. That's the rationale. And really, Liljegren was in there because he was a right shot. But there was some chemistry there. So and then they put Benoit back in when Brody was the odd man out. So I think what you saw when Brody was out right now is your optimal. But you need Rielly... you need Edmondson, you need Liljegren, and all three of those guys are out right now. Right. And Riley at least could come back soon.
And that one's funny with Sheldon Keefe, yeah. When you're talking about day-to-day with Mitch Marner, it's like it's been day-to-day for Morgan Riley too. Like that's the word of the day all the time when it comes to these injuries from Keefe, right? It's like...
Well, here's a weird thing too. Like they have LTI space, they have all that other stuff, but the Buffalo game was... Anyone who played in that Buffalo game is no longer eligible for salary cap exception if someone gets hurt. So like... There's 9 games left in the season. If someone is out for the remainder of the season, they can't put that person on an LTI anymore. There's no capability. And so all you could do is retroactive anyone who's been out. So if Liljegren's injury is not one where he could come back, although they said Liljegren and Edmondson should be back before the end of the season. But if they're not, if you got Yarncroak eventually coming back, I don't know when that is. It doesn't look like it's anytime soon. Then... you kind of have to look at guys that you could put the money out on LTI retroactively like they did with Marner if they want to take other LTI guys and activate them, because otherwise they don't have space right now. Now they have just the amount of Marner's cap and a little bit more, and that's right. It. So they can activate Marner when he's ready. But after that, anyone on LTI, not any of the other defensemen that we talked about, but if they want to get Yarncroak in, they don't have the money to do it. They'd have to kind of find the other spot. And so other than that, they would just kind of have to run the risk of just not having Yarncroak play until the playoffs, because they just don't have the money to activate unless they move things around.
Right. Yikes. Yeah. So because at the playoffs, that's when the whole cap, like it doesn't matter basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then everyone's everyone's fine at that point.
Yeah.
But like, look, you know, Matt Murray's now at practice. God. Matt Murray took part in his first full practice on Friday. So he's on the road, right? Like, not on the road with the team, but he's on the road to returning as an NHLer or whatever his career is going to be. And, you know, they could put him on LTI conditioning and he might be able to get some games in with the Marlies.
Right.
But if they want to start resting other guys and they have other, like they don't have the room to activate these guys, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Unless the Marner injury turns into a rest of the year thing, or if Liljegren or Edmondson's like combined works out to being enough that they can interchange the money.
Do you know what happened to Edmondson at all? That Joel Edmondson?
It's a big mystery.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so undisclosed.
All right. Cause it's just
undisclosed. Even the Riley one was kind of a surprise because I was one of the only two reporters in Carolina, and the injury supposedly happened there. And I spoke to him after the game. Mm-hmm. And usually when someone gets injured, whether it's obvious or whatever, they don't make them available. So that was bizarre when they announced it. I was like, what the heck happened? So, and Riley hasn't really been practicing. So
it might be load management.
No, I don't know what's going on, but it's that crazy time of year.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if you see some crazy things.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Like remember the Leafs ended last season with an amateur tryout goaltender backing up the last 4 regular season games.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's true.
And Samsonov didn't play that entire last week.
Yeah. Oh.
You're right. Yeah. So be prepared for some craziness. All right. That's good. That will make us feel better. We'll just have to keep that as a mantra.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to close things out really quick, because you know we always like to ask you about your road antics. So
yeah.
What is your favorite road rink meal this year so far?
Oh boy. I mean, so I guess it doesn't count. Does it count this year if it happened in the preseason?
Sure.
Sure.
Then it's
that's sad if that's the case, that you had your best road meal at the very beginning. Well,
because Detroit's is still the undisputed number one.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think you said that last time.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's the king.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Carolina, though. You had a brunch, didn't you? Or something with pancakes. And I don't know. It looked really
Vancouver.
Good. I think. Was it Vancouver?
Vancouver.
It looked really good.
It was a 4 o'clock local game.
Right.
So, so they had the brunch at like 1:30. Okay. So that was kind of nice. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what afternoon games did we have?
This or maybe year? It was St. Louis. Or brunch. Was it St. Louis?
St. Louis had a good brunch. Yes.
Yes. I think they maybe did. It was that one. Yeah.
Yes. So it's funny, like two of the rare road afternoon games have been in the Central Division, Chicago on the Thanksgiving Friday. And also St. Louis.
In St. Louis.
That was a weird trip. That St. Louis trip was also a weird one. But yeah, it was
But Detroit is still your main.
Oh yeah. And that was the only road game I really did go to in the preseason because I made it there's two reasons it's worth going. One, it's the very last preseason game, so it's actually the most newsworthy because guys who are on the bubble are really kind of trying to fight for their last spot. Even though the Leafs don't send their A-list guys, the guys who are on the bubble are there. Sam Lafferty, we spoke to after that game, and then he was traded for a fifth round pick. So, you know, there are those. Fraser Minton was in that game. Those are important. It's the last one. I think me and Masters drove to that one because in the preseason, they fly out the day of the game because they don't even go the night before because the result of the game is so inconsequential. They don't care about flying in the morning up. So, so we do that. And and I still love Detroit. And unfortunately, this season, there was no road game in Detroit because the one was in Stockholm, Sweden.
Yeah.
So, and those meals, as you can attest to, were not great. But anyway, so yeah, Detroit is still my favorite. So I went to the last game of the season there. The brunches were good. Vancouver had a really good brunch too.
Yeah.
The only meals that the Sweden one, it was just kind of like, okay, here it is. Like they really didn't put much of an effort into it. It wasn't unedible, but it wasn't.
No. Yeah,
I don't even know what to describe it as.
Yeah,
but Sweden.
We can attest to that as well.
Sweden's a great eats country. Like I had sweet meatballs for the people, which was really good.
Yeah, we went there too. Yeah.
So did you have the smorgasbord where it's like 12 different meats?
Christine did. She had the chef special one.
That's what it was called. Yes.
Yeah. So, it was interesting. Like, the different. I mean, I think they looked at me or us and they thought, oh, we're not going to give them too much of a different. Like flavors because they gave us lamb, didn't they give us lamb?
Yeah, there's lamb, and you got one of the reindeer ones.
In the reindeer,
I did get one of the reindeer ones also.
Yeah, but I was hoping to get the bear or the boar one sort of thing. I was thinking like to get something totally out, like that I wouldn't get here, but I had some sort of
bird as one of them. I don't remember what it was, but yeah, that was a good place. But I've started kicking up the TikTok. It's been a wild few months with life stuff that I'm just ramping up the TikTok game again and excited for the media meals for the playoffs. Hopefully they really step it up, whether we're in Florida, whether we're in Boston, Tampa, or hopefully New York. But
what we want.
Hopefully not Raleigh because it's one of the hardest places to get to in terms of flight options.
You were at
the game in Raleigh. I remember.
Yeah, we went a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we have been there. Nice. And there's like nothing around that rink either. It's like I said it was akin to driving into like a conservation area or a park, and then there's like an arena at the end of it.
Yeah, it just kind of comes out of nowhere.
It's a pretty area, but yeah, you know, it's so weird.
Florida's is kind of like that too.
Yeah.
Where like you don't really see it, and then until you turn in, you get past the trees, and you're like, "Oh, there's a building," so and a big parking lot. So, but yeah, the downtown Raleigh area is actually quite nice. Mm-hmm. And then
we really liked Carolina.
They're developing a whole bunch of stuff there now, so it's going to be like apparently they're doing this whole revitalization to make the arena like a district. So it's going to be like a big happening area very soon.
Mm. Well, I hope they don't get rid of all the trees, though. Anyway.
No, they won't be. I'm sure.
All right. So thanks, David, again, for making time for us today. We really, really appreciate it. And of course, everybody, you can check out David's articles at thehockeynews.com and subscribe to his newsletter to find out more about his personal experiences covering the Leafs and the business of hockey on the road. And you can subscribe to that at www.theroadbiz. It's a mouthful. Thanks again, David. And we will see you at the rink, I'm sure.
Yes. Still, Christine, thank you so much. Yep. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks. Again. All right. So thanks again to David for coming on the show. And he's at Every Leaf's practice and media availability. So he has a firsthand look at what is going on with the team. And if you don't already follow him on X, his handle is at DAlter. And we've shared a link to his hockey news articles in the show notes. So definitely take the time to follow David. And yeah, and it was fun chatting with him. He always has a lot of a lot of good stories and insight on the team, definitely.
For sure. And I think everybody feels like, you know, being the beat reporter is so glamorous, but we know from seeing some of behind the scenes that it actually is not, and it's a grind. And so we definitely appreciate David so much for the work that he does bringing that news to us. So now I guess we're going to move on to a review of what's coming up.
Yeah. So we probably won't know who the Leafs are going to play in the first round of the playoffs until the last week of the season. This week we have a couple of huge home games that might give us an indication. One versus the Panthers on Monday night, and then the Tampa Bay Lightning come to Scotiabank Arena on Wednesday night. And then on Saturday night, they head to Montreal before coming back home to play Michael Bunting and the Pittsburgh Penguins. He has another game here in a different uniform on Monday, April the 8th, Solar Eclipse Day, too. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, if Marner or Morgan Rielly come back at all during this first stretch of the last couple of weeks of the season. And also not sure about Joel Edmondson. So I don't know if he's going to come back. So it's more about the injuries, I think, like these players to come back into the lineup and seeing how they all fit in, like the way we talked about that with David. So,
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be interesting to see what that musical chairs looks like. And hopefully it's not going to be a detriment going in to that first round. So anyway, after the Pens, the Leafs head to New Jersey for the second half of a back-to-back. And then they come back home on April 11th to play those same New Jersey Devils again. It's like all of our games against them are like in this last little stretch. And then they close out the regular season home schedule on Saturday, April 13th versus the Detroit Red Wings. Then the Leafs' final regular season games are going to be in Florida, a back-to-back playing the Panthers on Tuesday, April 16th, and the Lightning on the 17th. And so those two games, I think, probably are going to be telling us exactly what's going to happen and where we're going to start.
And I don't think too many of our top players will be playing in those games either.
Probably not. I don't know. Do you think that positioning matters to them? Like, as long as we're home and cooled out, they won't care, right?
No, I don't think so. The only person that may play is Mitch Marner because...
To get some conditioning.
Yeah, like to get his timing on and stuff like that. But I mean, all the games prior to that, the New Jersey game and Detroit, I mean, they're fighting for their playoff lives right now, like to get into that last wild card. So for them, they're going to be... Like, we're going to get their best games, or we should be getting their best games. And so we'll see what happens there. But so it's going to be exciting the next little bit. And but don't forget, we're going to be going weekly for the playoffs. So the best way to not miss an episode is to hit that follow button wherever you listen to our show. At the same time, please consider leaving us a rating or review. It's easy on Spotify or Apple, and it's important for our show to get recognized as a source for Leafs content. And we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. Find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And as always, we want to take the time to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
And we thank you, as always, for listening and watching Ladies Talkin' Leafs, presented by Bet Online. Till next time, go Leafs, go.
Do you believe?